Is there something in your throat? Because I'm
No.
kind of, I've been watching your like antics. You have been moisturizing your lips about 50, 11 times. You're drinking a lot of water. Are you a little bit dehydrated or thirsty for
I
something?
am definitely keeping up with my fluid intake, yes. It is the wintertime. People get dehydrated out the blue. That is a
Oh, I
thing.
don't know anything about that.
Talk to your local doctor about winter dehydration.
I don't know anything about that anymore, okay?
Anymore? Why is that?
Because I don't have a winter.
I'm mad that I just got what you said. I'm so mad. I'm just like, wait a minute. You don't got a what? Yes, you're a Miami baby. You're a city girl.
I'm a city girl and I'm a material girl, okay?
Oh my God. You have changed. You have changed. Oh my gosh. That place has changed you. Come back. Come back home.
It has. And I was kind of embarrassed. I'm in a hushed voice right now. Because when I drive in my car now, my playlist is like Saucy Santana, City Girls, Sukiyana. And it is just terrible. The lyrics are bad. The content is terrible. My mother would shoot me down if she heard what I was listening to. But it pumps me all the way up. And I can't help it. I don't even want to sing the lyrics. Like, I respect the podcast so much that I would not dare to sing about them trying to finesse men out of money and taking
flights.
Well,
what's wrong with that?
Well, it's the language behind it. I'm giving you the soft version. You know
the
what I
language.
Mean? Language. Yeah, the soft version. I'll send you a song. I mean, I'm giving you the soft play-by-play, but the lyrics is just repeatedly a lot of one words, a lot of bombs being dropped, a lot of phallic parts being thrown out. But, you know, it just turns up, you know, a nice beat, you know. But it's good. It's good. It's good hype me music.
It sounds like life anthems to me. That's what it sounds
like. No. See, the thing is, I wouldn't want my kids to listen to it. But you know what? Not even to try to go off on a tangent. Even though I'm listening to these songs as an adult and I'm like, wow, they're really out here saying they're going to do all of this stuff. I used to listen to DMX and he was killing niggas all the day. Like,
allegedly.
I was listening to a lyric.
Allegedly.
In the songs. Like, he was a storyteller in his rap lyrics. And every story, whether or not he was meeting up with a girl who had a guy, or he was meeting a girl who didn't know what she wanted, or he was going after his baby moms, or if he was going to go after a guy who did something wrong, there was some kind of story behind it. But it was so violent and so full of rage, but that hook and that beat was good. You really fell into it, and it was like, well.
I mean, man's
maybe
like
I'm
a
gangster.
Songs.
I'm so, a gangster. He lived.
Speaking,
I'm gonna bite you.
He literally barked on the songs. R.I.P. to the real one.
12-year-old me loved it. Okay.
12-year-old me loved it. The perfect age to be listening to that. The perfect
whatever.
Age. Oh my gosh.
But it definitely woke me up in the morning.
Well, hey, whatever type of audio caffeine you need to get the day started, then that is good on you. Sophisticated ignorance.
You slid right in, didn't you?
Nope, don't do that.
Skirt, skirt.
Queen of the block.
I am evolving, okay?
All right, here we go again. Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to the show, the program, Sophisticated Ignorance. I am your host, Vixen J.
I am R to the OV.
I'm no longer anybody's boy. I am a host. I'm reclaiming my title.
Wow.
And I'm using it as such for this year.
Wow.
Okay? I'm not your boy, Vixen J. I'm a man. And I'm also a host of this program with my co-host. ROV.
Okay, not a problem.
What do you mean, not a problem?
I am supporting whatever you say, and I'm here for it, okay? So I can't say that's...
Sounds like a very blanket statement.
I'm just saying, if we're going out somewhere, I can't be like, yo, that's my boy, Vixen, because you're going to want to feel like I'm trying to be possessive over you. So I don't want you to have that transcend into that. Because you can't call the show, you saying the show is your boy, but now you are the host. So I'm just trying to give you that claim to fame.
Right.
And I would not try to take away your black boy joy.
Got you. Right. In the podcast sense, I'm just saying those are the terms I'm using. But in the streets, we cool. You know what I'm saying?
In the streets.
In the heights, in the streets, whatever you want to call it.
I'll read
the room. Speaking of in the heights, well, actually, okay, sorry. Yes, all right. I was going to say, speaking of in the heights, I was going to talk about the Bronx fire that happened in New York City, but the heights is not in the Bronx. I have to, for those who are very sensitive about the location, I have to be very sensitive and specific about that. But yes, definitely RIP or, you know, condolences to those who lost their lives in the Bronx fire that happened in New York City a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, rest in peace to that.
Very tragic situation. And it
sucks
because
something like that happened in Philly as well, too. So rest in peace to those people in Philly. Yeah.
Okay.
Same scenario.
Damn. And you know what the wild thing is? So we have this new mayor. For those of you in NYC, we have this new mayor, Eric Adams, who is just... I mean, the fact that he's an ex-cop does not make things great. He used to be the borough president of Brooklyn, and then he definitely got a job title upgrade. But there was something... I mean, he's been saying a lot of wild statements thus far, talking about, you know, there's people that have low-skilled jobs and all these other bullshits. And then one of the statements that he said recently that was just so insensitive and just so, like, you know, displaced from what went on was, I saw a clip where he was talking about, yo, you know, this is why we have to, like, close the doors in these buildings because we don't want something like this to happen again. And this is a takeaway moment. And it's just like, son, that's not even the point because, you know, there's so much more nuances to just keep the door closed. Some of these buildings are not up to code. Some of these buildings, you know, depending on the fire code, they haven't been updated in some time. And even if they have been, some things malfunction. Like, you never know what happened in that building. And for him to just say, oh, more to store, just keep them doors closed and we won't have shit like this happening, it just already shows how detached he is from the city. So it's going to be a... I mean, I know people thought de Blasio was a mess, but this shit going to be interesting. I'll tell you right now.
Am I right itself?
Just because he's black don't mean he for us. But that's a different story altogether. Sorry. I just had to call that out real quick. And yeah, thankfully, like, people were able to donate, you know, like, clothes and other things to those families who were affected by that. So just shout out to all y'all, or shout out to those people who were able to
shout out to having faith in humanity again.
Word, especially these days where humanity, where the humans of this earth are questionable at best. It's giving Homo sapien? Anyway.
Oh, God.
Enough of that tangent. I'm just saying.
God bless you.
Yes, people be peopling, and I'm just, girl, look. The first ship out of this planet, sign me up.
You don't know it's going to be better out in the alien world. Let's not do that. Have you not seen the Outer Limits?
Of the moon, Outer Limits?
Yeah, that show, that, like, space Trekkie show.
From the 90s?
From the 90s, yes.
A sci-fi show? Yes, I'm familiar with Outer Limits.
Right, so you should know that it's just as ghetto in outside planetarium than it is on Earth.
Well, I would rather relate to Star Trek, where it's like we on a ship and we just go into different planets and seeing what's good, if it's even inhabitable. That's the type of show I want to be on.
Okay.
Yes, okay, pay me it. Up.
Okay. Scotty, yeah, go ahead.
Big name. Hashtag Nicki Minaj. Anyway, we're moving on. We've already tangented enough. and I'm embarrassed by everything I just said. All right, so.
I was trying to be there for you. I'm just trying to be here for you, that's all.
Sometimes you can get off the boat. Sometimes when I'm steering the boat off course, you can just say like, whoop, I'm out. Because, yeah, even I heard myself. I was like, what are you doing?
I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you stranded.
All right. Well, cool, at least strap up. At least get your life vest if I get off the engine.
Okay.
So you're safe.
Save myself first.
Anyway, speaking of safety and all that jazz, today we're going to be talking about wokeness. the state of wokeness in this year, 2022. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why, you know, I felt it was important for us to talk about this is because, especially with COVID, and especially with, you know, all of the viewpoints and perspectives that people have brought up because of it, you know, everyone thinks that they know everything about everything as long as they have internet connection and vibes. And I feel like that is something that, you know, is... It's a beautiful thing to have access, because we have to call out that there's some people that don't have access to the internet. There's some people that don't have access to that level of information. But at the same time, the internet is a wild, wild west. And for those who think that, oh, because I Googled an article or whatever the case may be, you know, I'm woke or aware, that's a very scary situation, especially these days where information can either be very false or very, you know, very unverified. So the reason why I kind of brought this up is I saw this tweet from somebody that I'm just going to read, and this kind of start up or this started up the conversation. So this person says, don't shade people who weren't previously woke when you used to know them, or for being woke now. Either you want them to stay ignorant or you want them to do better. Which is it? Don't penalize them for their personal progress or development. You weren't born woke either. And this statement caused a bit of a stir when I reposted it on my social medias. Because, you know, generally, I do concur in the notion of, yes, we are, there's a point in time where we're all not aware of certain things. And in this case, awareness comes down to just awareness of our surroundings, awareness of you know, different things. And there's a point in time where we are all not woke. In fact, even before we get into that, what is your definition of woke?
Well, my definition of woke is actually learning something that I wasn't aware of previously and giving me a new outlook and point of view of what my actual definition is and what the real definition is. That's my own spin on wokeness. But I feel like... wokeness is such a common term used loosely now that anything that, you know, that could be a simple realization is defined as woke. So somebody would take that and run with it. So if they shout, oh, I didn't know that green was a new color for smoothies, I'm woke now, I can drink a lot of green machines and be healthier than ever, you ain't woke. This been around, like, because you're yelling at it, because you're screaming at the top of your voice about something that you just found out about, right? It's more woke for you in that setting, but it's not woke for everyone else who's been aware about it. So just loudly saying that I'm woke because I learned something new, it's not something that I agree with.
Right. But I think there's an excitement there when people discover something new or they find out some nuance to something that they weren't aware of before. And of course they want to share it with others. But there is a dangerous part of wokeness that we're going to talk about later that creates a level of elitism, you know, when people are talking about them being more aware. For me, wokeness... you know, I mean, similar to what you said, it's a matter of like discovering something or whatever. But I think in this year or these days, wokeness is really more of a state of, I'm going to say, not really privilege, but like a state of, I guess, ego that someone carries around with them because they read a few books and they read a few articles and they reposted some things. And so I think it's a state of ego that people have when they feel like they're more aware or conscious of certain things around them more than others. They feel mm-hmm. like that elevated state of awareness. I feel like that's what wokeness is. And sadly, you know, the concept of being woke is not an issue. Like, you being aware of things or you being open to certain things and stuff, that's great. But the problem with wokeness is where, you know, people use that and they bash others for not being at their level, quote unquote.
Right.
That's where wokeness gets very dutty and disgusting. So funny enough, so when I posted this on my social media, the initial post about don't shade people, then I had a friend of mine who responded to that post. I'm going to read that real quick. And they say here, there's a nuance that's lost in these type of posts. First, woke is trash. All right, hot take. Let's stop using that when we are talking about an awakening. Second, no one is born out of the womb knowing the injustices. That's madness. So they're pretty much calling that person out, like, duh, of course no one's born woke. However, many of us are taught about our history from an early age and develop into that a sense of self and self-determination as we mature. So when woke people be going all hard, there's a little bit of like, yo, my dude, you're late. That would be handed to you, right? That's similar to what you were talking about. Now, it's clearly not the same for people who are learning awakening, but woke folks are usually hard body and annoying. Probably some former readers of the 48 Laws. And the answer is yikes to that statement. Or like their relative, the answer for it all is that they never taught me that in school. And that is a very, very specific point that we need to dive into more, where once again, people read a couple books, they read a few articles, and all of a sudden they're Dr. Sebi, they know all, they are all, they have the ankh of knowledge, and you know, their third, fourth eye has been wide open, and how dare you only have the two eyes, you simpleton. Right?
I think it's funny because, like, you're saying, it's more like, as soon as they find out something, it's more like an elitist attitude about their, quote-unquote, wokefulness, and that has transcended into, like, I guess, younger generations, because in our generation, we didn't use woke as much, but now currently a lot of people, when they're just discovering something new, they're saying that it's woke, and it's layered with a lot of social injustice behind it, and it makes their woke narratives more of an anti-woke narrative, because it's like you're still asleep because you don't understand what you're supposed to be learning. So they're trying, at this point, wokefulness is like oversimplified in that term, because there's no way for them to understand the complexities of actually being awake, the physicalities of actually opening your eyes to see something that you haven't seen before. That's the purposefulness of being woke, not to push your agenda or your narrative of what you think is right. And I think that's where a lot of people are confused.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like, and just to the person who responded, their point, whereas, like, you know, most of the wokeness really comes from a sense of our history, right? Culturally, as Black people and stuff like that. So when we say woke, that's usually, it goes along those lines of, like, yo, if you don't know your culture, if you don't know your history, if you don't know your past, if you don't know all these things, then you're not woke. And, you know, once you are aware of those things, or once you do come into light of those type of topics, now you're kind of in tune. And for those who are not in tune with their culture or background or anything like that, they're the ones who are lost. And I feel like that is such a divisive mechanism that we use amongst ourselves, where, you know, we have the conversations of, like, do you know where you come from? Do you know how your people got here? Do you have an understanding of how, you know, systemic racism, like all these very large conversations and topics that, you know, the average person may not be aware of, but just because you're not aware of it doesn't mean that you are, that you don't have the ability to be aware of it, right? And I feel like woke people, in this case, they feel like you are lost. Like, once you don't have any idea of this, you're lost. You're a lost mm-hmm. cause. I can't fuck with you. And that's when we get into very dangerous Hotep territory.
Again, definitely. We'll talk about later.
I've had my share of experiences with the Hoteps, and oh boy, dark times, dark times.
It's sad that the actual word now, just being woke and wokefulness, has just been... this is so funny. I don't even know how. My mother was talking about the devil's language. Like, I think I said like a
the devil's language. Just,
right? No, she said the devil's language. But right now, like, saying being woke and having wokefulness has been demonized into a big social trigger now. When I hear someone being woke, it's like a trigger in me. And I'm like, oh, are you really being woke? Or are you just trying to prove a point? Like, is that just a way of you to say, I'm so woke about this topic, I'm right? But in a sense, you aren't right, because you're not aware of what actually happened with you being woke, because there's a lot of social injustice that's going on. There's a lot of things that are being, you know, decepted in front of us that we don't really know what's going on. And you're using woke as some kind of barrier to say, hey, this is why what I say is right, because I'm woke and I read this book. And maybe sometimes you need to go back to sleep and dream about what you need to really understand. Right. So you can refresh yourself and come, because you're not awake. You're just using this as a platform to say what I'm saying is right. And I think that's where that word gets demonized, because it's just been overused in the current temperature right now in our climate. Because everything that people post, they have to say hashtag woke.
Right. Yeah, and just to prove a point. And I think it's to the point where, you know, the initial, I mean, it's definitely been watered down. I think it's been kind of bastardized, the term, where it's kind of like we kind of use it for meme fodder now. Like, the actual term doesn't hold any weight anymore, because I think the people behind it, or the people who present themselves as woke, which, first of all, big egotistical vibes. But on top of that, those people who present themselves as woke, they have such a demeanor about them, which... You know, if you were really aware, and I like to say awareness more than woke, but if you're really aware of certain things, wouldn't you want to do your best to, like, share that information and stuff versus, like, condemning people? Mm-hmm. And, you know, sadly, you know, these people come off so, like, pretentious in the way that they try to share information. Like, you go on TikTok, for example, and I think, you know, wokeness in this current social media age comes off differently. You know, I have a lot of friends who are very well-versed in certain topics and they want to share it with their audiences. I feel like that's amazing. And they don't come off a certain way. They don't come off like they're talking down to you. They're talking to you, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's an important way for people who are aware of, like, certain, like, situations, whether it's, like, you know, like, social injustice or something that is happening in the world that people should be more aware of. I feel like those conversations, especially online, are had more on a, hey, look, this is me sharing this with you because it's important to know, versus like, yo, how y'all not notice, and looking down at everybody, you know? And I feel like that's where wokeness takes that very dangerous turn. I also wanted to address the last part of that message where they talk about the person not learning these things in school. Now, that is another misconception of wokeness, where it's like, yo, you know, the education system should be teaching us these things. And now the fact that they haven't, or the curriculum is not catered to teaching us these certain topics, oh, you know, it's the education system's fault for us not being aware of these certain things. So my question to you is, you know, back in the day when we used to go to school and, you know, certain topics would come up, were you expect, like, certain things that you learned after school, or... Yeah, certain things that you learned after school, were you upset, or were you, like, shocked that you didn't learn them in school, like, based on the type of classes that you took and the type of conversations you were having?
I think that at the time that I went to school, that there weren't as many restrictions to teachers being able to talk about different topics that were kind of heavy. I didn't learn as much as heavy topics until I started junior high school. And I always give him a shout out, Mr. Wyatt. He was the coolest junior high school teacher. He was the first professor to actually, you know, give us outside of U.S. history, but, like, Black history, because I've never been exposed to that. And, you know, like I said, you know, my parents come from a Caribbean background. They didn't have to experience racism to the extent that Black America has to. So him showing movies like Amistad and telling us about Black History Month, because I didn't know about that until I got into junior high school. I didn't even know we had a month. Like, I've seen it while I was a child, but I got to know more of it as I grew up older. When I got into high school, it was kind of lost again, because I didn't have a Black professor who was into, quote unquote, being woke in that sense. And it was until I got into college where I was able to pick and choose different classes that I wanted to know more about my history. You know, since I am an American, I was born here, I've been going to school here, I'm going to experience all kinds of institutionalized racism somewhere along the lines. I needed to know how to protect myself. So I did that. I joined the Black Student Union. I was definitely involved, I guess, in trying to get myself quote unquote woke, but I didn't feel as though I felt I was more Black or more woke or more, you know, progressive than the next person, because I was still learning in my own time, you know. And now that I even said about being Black, you know, even we started using the term wokeness, and that has been stripped from us as well too. So a lot of Black people don't even use woke anymore. Like, that word has just been stripped apart from us. To even the point of being woke was to learn more about your history as a Black person, but even having that terminology was taken away from us. So we might be woke, but now we have colored contacts in now or something, because we don't even have the woke glasses to wear anymore, because other people want to try them on.
Right, exactly. Yeah, woke has definitely been gentrified in certain cases. And, you know, kind of going back to the educational aspect of things, like, you know, I remember in my younger elementary, junior high school days where, you know, it really came down to the teachers to teach us about, like, specific topics, you know, like Black teachers that I had to teach us about specific topics about, like, slavery or Black history, all these things. It was never baked into the curriculum. So, you know, definitely shout outs to those teachers who make that a part of their priorities when it comes to, you know, teaching kids about these topics that are usually glanced over or not taught, you know, to a certain extent. But I feel like, you know, it just kind of shows how the American education system is set up, because, you know, from the younger years and fast forwarding to college, like, similar to you, like, when it came to college, I took, you know, some Black studies courses and stuff like that. And there were so many things that I, at that time, I felt like, whoa, this is like really blowing my mind in the sense of, like, you know, culture and history and all these things. There's like, I think a lot of us at that time, just being exposed to that for the first time, especially us being like inner city kids from the city and stuff like that, like, we were never really taught at this level. And we get to this point and it's like, yo, how come we have never been taught this before? You know what I mean? Like, how come we've never been exposed to this? And I feel like from there, that was kind of like the genesis of some of us kind of taking on those learnings and wanting to, I mean, it kind of started for me, and it kind of started in college, where it's like, yo, we'd take these Black studies courses, people would grasp the information because it's new to them. And now they want to regurgitate them to other people because they want to, they're proud of what they've learned, but they also want to show, like, hey, yo, I've learned this, I've consumed this information, and now I'm spitting it back at other people. But once again, that elitism kind of started seeping in, or that ego started seeping in, depending on who was like talking or trying to share, because it was less about the information, it was more about them and their status of sharing the information, right? Because now it's like, you're a gatekeeper, and you know, it's like, yo, I got this information, and if you want it, or if you even deserve to know this shit, then you're not on my level. You know what I mean? And that was the very murky part of college when it came to Black studies that I did not enjoy. I mean, I had my woke moment. Not woke. I had my Black, you know, culture, Black, you know, Black pride moments in college, but it was not to the extent of me trying to talk down to people or feeling like I knew more than. You know what I mean? So I think that's another thing, especially when it comes to our culture, where wokeness definitely takes a turn, and that is kind of touches on the hoteps of the world, you know. When was the last time you supported a hotep, or you saw a hotep out in the streets?
When's the last time I supported a hotep? That's a loaded question.
Supported or saw or witnessed, encountered, you know?
Like, you know, a hotep watch. You know what? I wouldn't say, you know, it might be, this is sophisticated ignorance, right? So this is going to be very ignorant, what I'm about to say.
Bring it on.
So, like, when New York is like a melting pot of cultures and everyone knows that, you know, and I've seen some of the hoteps walking around trying to proclaim, you know, their blackness and why it's better than most and why you should join and why you should do certain things. And I think I spoke to someone about this. I don't know who. Like, I was driving and I'm in Miami now, right? So it's not as crowded. Well, you know, it's still crowded because of pandemic, but it's not as seen as in New York. Like, every corner you'll see somebody with a poster board or trying to have a megaphone or like a soapbox where they're saying stuff from. I'm driving down, this is so funny, I'm driving down like North Miami Avenue, and I see, you know, a bunch of men, predominantly men, which is funny. A lot of men are more woke than women, but this such be the case. I see a bunch of men in in purple and gold, right? And I'm like, yo, gold boots. All right, so I'm like, yo, what the Q Dogs doing over there? Like, I'm really, like, concerned. I'm like, yo, are they rallying for something? Did something happen? Like,
are they probating out on Miami streets?
I honestly didn't know. And then, you know, I'm driving one way and they're, like, walking the opposite way. So I came to the stoplight and put my my window down, and they're preaching about black culture and trying to promote people. So I don't know if they were trying to use that like as a disguise for people to listen to them. But I was just like taken aback by how they were trying to say the white man is this and we're not going to do anything for our social system, and they are always going to perpetuate that the black man will ever nothing be better than what he is, and he's just going to be at the bottom of the barrel. And I'm like, really, sir? I mean, I understand that they were trying to get more people involved, but they really fooled me with the purple and gold, because I was like,
fooled me.
I was like, what is Q Dogs doing out here? Were they, you know,
were they barking? None of them barked. That should have been the first sign.
I had my windows up, like I said. I didn't know what was going on, but I was intrigued. Wow. But that's how they did catch me. They did catch me. So, you know, I heard their conservative viewpoints, their hotep viewpoints, but, you know, I had to drive. It was very unilateral type of engagement. I don't even think they saw me. I heard what they had to say, and then I had to keep moving. When I was younger, when I got off the train in downtown Brooklyn, there was a cute one, and he really tried to get me, like...
They try to get you too, huh?
Right? The disguises, Q and Q Dogs, they got my weaknesses already. But, trying to pull me in and tell me what's right and what I should do to be a good queen. And, you know, is, if you are brought up that way, that's a whole different story. But that's not how I was raised. I was raised very independent, especially with my father. He's always tried to push that narrative on me. So it felt kind of oppressive when he used to tell me things that I should listen to the man, and I should do certain things. Like, he was trying to run game, and I was like, you know what? My 14-year-old self said I'm good. Like, I want to just come downtown and buy a Zane book off the side of the block and go back home. But I'm good, so I'm gonna just head back out. So that was like my only two types of, you know, interactions with hoteps. But other than that, I just see like the normal memes where people just trash them or make fun of them on TikTok, or try to make something very small into something very black. So I just, all I do is just sit and laugh at all the Dr. Umar memes. And, you know, that's the full extent of my hotepism. But I know that you have a plethora of interactions with them, right?
A plethora. Wow, that's a big word.
Oh, right. Is it? It's just a lot of syllables. I don't know if it's big.
I want to also preface this. Like, I know we say hoteps and jess and all that stuff. You know, I just want to make the stance that there is nothing wrong with having black pride. there's nothing wrong with, you know, being for your people and all these things. I think that's an amazing trait, and I know a lot of friends of mine who are about that.
You know what I mean? Agree.
And I certainly commend them and I shout them out because, you know, I'm team Black Power too. All right. I'm not, mm-hmm. I don't exactly have the quote unquote kufi on, you know, I'm not a Dr. Sebiite, but you know, I am all about my people.
Sebiite.
I'm not a Sebiite. I'm definitely not him, but I'm definitely about, you know, uplifting my people and
the progression of Black people. Yeah. And progression of Black people.
I'm totally team that all the way. Right. I think certain people are a little bit more passionate about it than others. I feel like that's where we, you know, come up with the HOTEP term. There was a young lady that I used to know or used to kind of engage with a lot at the time. And, you know, she had a lot of strong takes when it came to like Black culture and whatever. Like, for example, she wouldn't watch a show that had any white people in it. Even as funny as it was. And it's just like,
damn,
don't watch that show just because. And it's like, nah, I don't fuck with that white shit, da da da. And it's just like, mm-hmm, but it's funny though, you know, like. And yes, of course their main prerogative would be supporting Black shows or like Black anything over whatever, and that's fine. We're definitely team support Black business here, but it's just like, I think there's just it's like an obtuse view of the world where it's like, yes, you could be about your people and stuff like that, but also know that other people exist, right? And it wasn't even just about like her dismissing Black people, but it was also like other cultures too. And yeah, we used to get into conversations about interracial dating and all these other things. And, I mean, as I said, those people who kind of are very like hardcore, like all Black everything, once again, I love, support. But I'm just not always on that train all the time. You know what I mean? And, I call them the GRG, the Grand Rising Gang. And, I'm not a part of the GRG. You know what I mean? That's just not my thing. I'm not waking up calling, you know, someone queen. No, thank you. And don't call me king. I don't know. How do you feel being called queen?
Do you like
being called queen?
Of course. I love it, but yeah, it's the context. That's fine. It's the sometimes you might want a little hotep in you. You know what I mean? But
excuse me.
You know, it's the context that it's used in. We're not doing this. I'm not doing this with you, your ass. It's the context that it's used.
Better this year, okay? Yes, context is everything. Yes,
you know what? We just started.
Right. No, but yes, I mean, like, as I said, I do commend, you know, my friends who are very like Black mobility forward and all these things. I really, you know, do appreciate them. As I said, I guess it just comes down to like the terminology and sometimes the demeanor. That's the thing that I'm not on that train. Gosh, this is there's something I really want to shout out, but I know this person probably watches the show, so I will leave that for after the show. But
the suspense is killing me.
I don't feel comfortable sharing it on this program. But all that to say is, like, for those who know me, know that, yo, I am definitely about supporting my people. I don't always have to be up in your face about it, but I definitely am about it, and I do my best to show that through my actions, and not necessarily with my words, if that makes sense. So that's just me, but you know, everyone has a different take on it. I know, as I said, people use the term "hotep" offensively, or they use it as a means of like mocking and stuff. But the general concept of, you know, Black pride should not be, you know, watered down. But it definitely comes with that level of wokeness that does come off very elitist and all these things.
But yeah, I do appreciate what they're doing, because sometimes, again, like you were saying, with our education system, it's so hard to find out anything about our race. And honestly, if I didn't have interactions with, you know, the one in downtown Brooklyn, I wouldn't have wanted to know much more. I'm like, so why is he so passionate about this? Like,
right, why is he shouting at me? Ooh, yeah. I kind of like it, but I don't at the same time.
You know, it's those experiences that can help trigger and like mold how you react to different things. So, you know, even though I went down there with the purpose of trying to find a book, it was still like an experience. Like, so yo, he was really in the train station trying to get more Black people to be prideful of who they are. Why? Why is that? Are we not prideful enough? Is there something that we're lacking? What do we need to do to show that all Black people are together and there shouldn't be a division between people who aren't as outspoken versus those who may be more resilient through different avenues, you know, through teachings, sometimes through videos, maybe showing their art pieces. You know, we don't always have to be out front and center on a bullhorn. So what makes it different from them versus me? So I needed to figure that out for my own clarity, you know?
Right. And that is a beautiful part about you doing that work for yourself in order to make yourself more aware or doing that type of research. Because, you know, one of the things that my professor in college always used to say is, you know, don't take my word for it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, even though he'd be teaching us these things and teaching us, you know, these topics and all these things, he would say, don't take my word for it, do your own research. And I feel like that is the big difference between those who want to have others kind of be as aware, quote unquote, as they are, versus the ones that are talking down at you and trying to tell you like, yo, you don't know shit. I'm here to spread the good news. And if you ain't here to accept it, then damn, you're just not about it. And I feel like also there's another aspect of things when it comes to not just wokeness, but just more, I think there's a notion where people want to know more, right? And there's a lot of resources and means to know more. But then with the internet, oh yeah, the point I was trying to make here is that, you know, it gets very dicey when you are doing actual research and sharing that with people versus jumping on a conspiracy theory train. And now you're spewing a whole bunch of bullshit, right? And those people think that they're woke, where it's like, yo, COVID was started by the 5G towers, or like, yeah, I mean, the people in Ching Chong started this bullshit. And that's where it gets very dangerous, because now you're not only being discriminatory and all these other horrible things, but now you're projecting that onto others, and that unfortunate rhetoric spreads and spreads and spreads. So you really had niggas out here thinking whole cell towers caused a virus that went global around the world. And this is the part of quote-unquote wokeness that scares me, because it's like, how are people receiving information, digesting it, and then going on their Facebook.coms and sharing it with their aunts and uncles? I don't understand how we got to this point in time. And yeah, you know, it's just a scary time, you know, to be in certain circles with people where they, you know, you get that WhatsApp message of, oh, send this to 10 people and stuff like that. And it's, yo, our parents, our aunties, our unkies, you know what I mean? They are out here thinking that they're trying to put people onto these things. And the real truth is like, yo, you have not even read an article. You have not read any information. You are just hitting copy and paste because that's what at the end of the message says. And it's like, I receive these things and it's just like, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? This doesn't even sound right. Where is this coming from? And the answer is, it's been forwarded many times. So it's just like, where is the source? You know what I mean? But sadly, you know, people are susceptible to these things because they're not doing research. They don't know better. They're going off of trusted sources, quote unquote. And all this information that people feel makes them woke is actually making them much more dumb.
You know, just to circle back to the hoteps that I saw on North Miami Avenue, I don't know, this just, I literally, when you were talking about conspiracy theory, as they were out there preaching at the top of their voices, I realized that none of them had on masks, you know? That was a concern to me, because they are so... No, because it's like, it's a point to prove like a conspiracy theory, but then it's like you're also aiding to it by not wearing masks. Right. You know what I mean? So I wanted, you know, sometimes that's why a lot of people are so not for them in that aspect, because it's like you pick and choose what is something that you are going to fight for. You know what I mean? Instead of fighting for everything. You know?
Right.
And that's kind of worrisome too. But I must say that I'm not opposed to... I know that, you know, I said that I'm just done with everything, but sometimes being called Mother Earth Queen, Beauty Goddess is not a bad thing.
Okay. I suppose it is better than being called a bitch, I guess, in certain circles.
Oh, a bitch?
I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about
Who's calling anybody a bitch? That's terrible.
Look, I think people would rather be called queen than alternate options. So I get that. Look, as I said, don't call me king. I don't like it. I don't like it. All don't right. do that to me.
Okay,
I'm
boy.
Okay. Just call I'm me. Kidding. Don't call me.
Circles.
I didn't say all that. No. I'm just saying that's just not my speed. But hey, at the end of the day, as I said, as long as, you know, when it comes to the type of information that we're sharing, I would rather somebody out in the street shouting facts at me than just shouting their thoughts and shouting their opinions and shouting the theories that they've came up with. And now, you know, it's not supported by anything. And I feel like, especially once again, circling back to COVID, that has been a lot of the rhetoric, especially with vaccinations and boosting and stuff like that. I think I just heard a lot of BS. We've heard a lot of BS, you know, within this past year about how people view those things. So once again, information, the ultimate, you know, story is just like, when it comes to information, do your own research. Do, you know, if you really want to be quote unquote woke, do your own research and don't lean on others to, you know, put things on for you. That's just my take on it. What about you?
You know, even with the whole wokefulness, you know, sometimes, and this can go into a whole different topic, sometimes when I'm wearing my surgeon green scrubs on and I decide to, I was about to wash it, right? I have, when I used to work in New York, a nurse friend of mine's mother, during the pandemic, she realized that we didn't have caps. So she used to make caps for us. So I gave her some material to make a cap for me. And I use some of my like Afrocentric caps to wear, you know, when I'm around. Right. But when I put these on, it's like I get the head nod from all the black people.
Because you're donning your helmet of salvation.
My crown. And it's like some others, it's like, damn, she's always black because I got Black Lives Matters on my Crocs, like, you know. And then it's like I'm the Hotep of the OR, and it's because it's like I'm doing so much black pride, Black Doctors Matter, all of this stuff, and it's like it's the side eye of Hotepness that comes with it. You know what I mean? So,
wow,
I still wear it. I mean,
as you should. But, you have to represent yourself. Come on.
I mean, I think it's cute.
All right. Well, that too, I guess.
It was more for a fashion statement for me. I'm not going to lie. I liked the African print. Wow. I liked it. You know, and it showed that my black pride. Don't laugh at that. It looks, if you have something to wear and it looks good, but then in a different light, somebody else's point of view, it's like, dag, she's wearing another African scrub cap. And I'm like, yes, the fuck I am.
As you should. Look, shout outs. Well, I mean, there's no sponsorship here, but there's a brand that I supported a lot called Dianyu. And, you know, they have a lot of, you know, cultural prints and stuff. And I like that brand. And I've worn their clothes and people have called me very specific names, but I don't care. I like it. I like the clothes in it and makes me feel good. And that's the moral of the story. So.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
So rock what you're going to rock. And as long as you're not being woke about it, that's really what it comes down to. I'm serious. Yeah, come on, son. Let's keep woke back in 2021. Let's start being aware. Let's start being aware of our surroundings. And let's bring awareness back instead of wokeness.
I agree.
Think that's a good takeaway.
I agree.
Because, yeah, if you don't stay ready, then you never have to be ready. There it goes.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Yes. Anyway, well, that is about it for us. But before we leave, before we get out of here, Rove, do you have something for the audience in today's episode?
Okay, yeah, I sure do. So we're going to talk about, you know, I do block a lot, and I've created a Queen of the Block list that, you know, I will share for you guys this year. And and pending as well. Start things off for my the number one spot for the Queen of the Block list. We're gonna start off first.
Mm, it's who's the first on the block list?
This is gonna be very ignorant, but I do this all the time and I don't care. It is the judgmental green bubbles from the Android phones. They have to be blocked. I recently saw, they have to be blocked. I'm sorry. Maybe it's an elitist thing that I've just spoke nearly an hour about elitist attitude, but fuck it, iPhone's winning. But Google is saying that I'm part of the problem. I agree. Google is saying that there are a lot of depression lied with teenagers. And with teenagers and a lot of other people who feel a certain stigma when Apple users try to dismiss them with the green bubble. And that has caused some kind of leak within school systems, hierarchies in the workforce, between friends groups and group chats or whatever. Because they're saying people with the blue buttons, the blue iMessages, feel as though they are better than the people with the green messages. And I've always said that, and I used to say it as a joke, but clearly it is a bigger issue now that Google, Apple, and Androids are involved on a large scale, that it's something that's seriously affecting us as a society, which is kind of sucky. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people, you know, dismantle, oh yeah, Androids have better cameras, like they try to do compare contrasting. But when you're in a group chat and then you try to like a message, you can't do that with a green button. It's annoying. You got to go back one out of three on the thread. It's annoying. Right. The GIFs don't be GIFing when you GIF it on an Android. So I need the green bubbles to just be on the block list. Now, I'm not saying that blue bubbles are better than green bubbles in a sense. You know, I'm working on myself. But if we could just have one collective color for text messages, we would probably be normalized and there wouldn't be so much of a division between whoever carrier system that you want to be in. And we are way too far in technological advances to not have that. We could just have a simple send, receive, delivered color instead of trying to separate the two. Listen, I watched the Jetsons. I'm supposed to be flying in a fucking spaceship right now. So we could change the color of a text message to one color. Okay? So green bubbles are on my block list. You know, it's causing too much of an issue now in 2022. We just started. We're linking it to depression with teens, linking it to socioeconomic inequalities. And we don't want to start that bubble going off too soon. Like, we should just halt it at the time. We could just have white and silver text messages. Hell, back on Nokia, we didn't even get a bubble. We just got a send to receive and a text with a green screen. So, even with AIM, they didn't even do all of that. Everybody had the same freaking color.
Well, even on Instagram, in the DMs, you have different colors.
So, you could customize that.
Yeah. So we should be able to customize our text colors.
And that's also a thing, too. Hit them up before they trademark it. Because whoever's going to listen to us and steal it. Because right now, the green-blue debacle is something that's not talked about, but it is lingering in everyone's mind. So I'm blocking green bubbles.
Well, guess what? You've just made me woke. on that information you just shared. Look at that, because I did not know about that whole depression link when it comes to text and all that. So look at you putting people on.
I mean, I can see that, because if you are, and you know, it's impressionable at a young age, you're in school, whatever, and you just got your new phone and it's an Android, probably the best one, maybe even better than an iPhone. But because it's not an iPhone, you are not included in any of the social, the text messages, whatever link ups that they may be behind it with your other friends. So you are already ostracized and an outcast. So we got to cut it off. Cut it off before it starts.
All right. And Rove has spoken. First of many on the blacklist. So stay tuned for more additions, because I'm pretty sure it's going to get
equal text message colors for all.
Rove 2022.
No, okay.
That's
no.
The slogan.
No, we can't. Okay, no, we can't.
Okay, no politics. Okay. All right.
No, we can't.
We've gone too far.
Yes.
Right, there it goes. We're reeling it back. Cool stuff.
Read the room. Oh, yes.
All right, guys. That is about it for us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate it. Coming back at you guys with some new stuff. Make sure to check us out on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our social medias. That is on Twitter, Instagram. Check us on our personal handles on Instagram and on Twitter. Interact with us. We'd definitely love to hear from you. Send any questions, or if you want to be a guest on the show, please send an email to sophigpodcast@gmail.com. We really love to hear from y'all. And yeah, make sure to also rate us on Apple Podcasts as well. Rate and like the show. We definitely appreciate all that feedback. And yeah, we're just going to keep this train moving. Love to see it. Love that we are kind of kicking things off and keeping the train
moving. Choo-choo.
Bing bong.
I'll allow you to say that. You know what? And I'm not even trying to be rude, but I'm going to just say I'm just woke about this. Everybody who's not from New York, you got to stop saying bing bong, because you don't understand the implications behind it. All right. Please, you wasn't in Coney Island shooting in a gym. Like, relax.
You don't have those two dogs with you. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Going hard.
This is a New York thing. Don't let it be a Wyoming thing.
Can't even say hard right.
Yeah, don't make this a North
Somebody
Carolina
called me thing. Out on my accent the other day. I was trying to blend in into Miami. They was like, every time you say, I don't care, they could hear it. I'm like, what do you mean, I don't care? And like, no, I don't care. All right, whatever.
Relax. Yeah, Miami people are different.
Don't do that. Human being. Don't do that. I'm in Miami now, so I got to claim it.
All right. Yeah, because you're a city girl. Girl? Oh, yeah.
You can't do it because you're from Brooklyn. You're not a girl. You're not a girl.
I'll never do that again.
Please don't, because this is big time judgment, okay?
Ooh. Ooh, I felt that in my spirit. That was a bad one.
All right, you guys. Thank you for listening to us again. It was a great episode, and we'll hear from you guys in the next one. Say bye, Vixie.
Bye, Vixie.
Oh, you did it. Later.
Literally. Say goodbye, Ruby.